Hey podcast listeners, it's Grace Ferguson
and Alejandra McClin with the Common Thread Podcast.
Today's episode is inspired by the recent college admission scandal, the one where wealthy parents paid huge sums of money to cheat their kids' way into elite schools.
So this got us wondering, cheating and bribery aside, are college admissions truly fair? And should we expect universities to be meritocracies?
College admission scandal has made us rethink what it takes to get into college. In this case, students got in on privilege, not merit. The 33 parents charged in the scandal paid their way past the rules. But even without cheating, your parents can have an effect on your chances of getting into college. This comes in the form of legacy admissions.
Being a legacy student means that a family member, such as one's parents, siblings, or other relatives, went to the institution in which you're applying to. Boston University considers legacy, and so do a lot of other schools. When you filled out the common application, you might remember answering the question, where did your parents go to school? However, the extent to which this is factored into the final admissions decision varies by institution. I had the opportunity to talk with Kelly Walter, the Dean of Admissions here at Boston University, to learn more about the admissions process here at BU.
So first, introduce yourself. How long have you been working with admissions and what got you started with it?
I've been working in undergraduate admissions and enrollment for nearly 40 years. It has been my life's work. I have the best job in the world, and I've been very proud that most of my work in undergraduate admissions has been right here at Boston University. Somewhere in the late 1980s, I defected for a few years and went and worked in admissions at Wellesley College, which was obviously a very different experience than here at Boston University. But I learned very quickly that a university that's complex and comprehensive and as global as BU was a much better fit for me. And so when I had a chance to come back to Boston University in 1991, I didn't think twice, and I've been here ever since.
Very cool. That's great that you're so passionate about BU and the global aspects that students come in from literally everywhere around the world to come to this institution. So first I'm going to start off with just the common application. So just the journey of the application takes from hitting the student hitting submit on the common app to them getting their acceptance letter in March. What journey does the application go through in admissions office?
You know, it's very interesting today because when I started my career in admissions, of course, everything was in a paper-based world. We don't live in that world anymore. And I think that has made the admissions process even more mysterious today because the application goes into the ether sphere and no one really knows what happens. But there is a structure, there's an infrastructure that really supports the admissions process, not just at Boston University, but at every institution. And so, you know, the applications, we have a platform that we use to read applications for students. And so on that platform, not only do we have a visual image of a student's application, but all of the credentials that are required, a student's high school transcript, their letters of recommendation, their writing samples and essays, their list of extracurricular activities. We can see all of that in a student's application. What has to happen behind the scenes once a student submits their application and hits that submit button, we have to wait for all those other documents to be paired up. Because your high school might not send your transcript at the same time you're sending your application, or your teachers who are sending letters of recommendation. So this platform allows all those documents to be matched up, and as soon as your application file is complete, it then goes into a queue to be read by whichever member of my staff is assigned to your region. So we read regionally. And we do that because every member of my staff, and my staff is quite large, about 60 people, they have areas of expertise. So you mentioned, Allie, that you're from Washington State. There is an individual in my office who is most familiar with the high schools in Washington. this person knows the curriculums, they know about the communities that students are applying for. And so you want to make sure that that level of knowledge, that expertise, is brought into the initial review of an application file. So that's how the queues are set up regionally, based on where staff travel and the areas of the world that they are most familiar with.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to group them in by region, because like someone, I always talk about this on tour, someone from, say, Washington, like me, has had a different educational experience thus far than someone from Massachusetts, and just different opportunities for clubs. So it's really interesting that they do get grouped by other students that are participating in the same things. Yeah. That's very cool.
And, it, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me, having done this kind of work for 40 years, is when I first started my admissions career here at Boston University, we did not read by region. We actually read by the school or college at BU to which a student had applied to. So all the engineering applications were read together. Mm-hmm. All the Questrom applications were read together and on down the line. And you can understand intellectually why that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's a type of student that we might be looking for in engineering that is different than someone who's applying to hospitality. Mm-hmm. But we found that that kind of review became very narrow, and it didn't allow us to recognize and distinguish the unique qualities that students mm-hmm. bring. And so we have found, as we transition to this model where we read by region, mm-hmm. by part of the country or part of the world, that it's actually allowed us to make better decisions about the applicants as they're mm-hmm. applying for admission. It also has meant that every member of my staff has to have an expertise in knowing what a qualified applicant to engineering looks like versus arts and sciences versus Sargent College versus mm-hmm. the School of Hospitality Administration.
That's very insightful. And it's interesting thinking, because so many people do transfer from their initial school to another school, and maybe their application doesn't fit the engineering one, but they would fit, like, say, the hospitality one.
Correct.
So very cool.
Yeah, one BU.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is, there are so many questions on the Common App, like what goes into the thought process of choosing which questions go on there?
So the Common App is, as I'm sure you know and all your listeners know, those questions are determined by the Common App, not by us mm-hmm. as member institutions. Mm-hmm. So we approve those, we agree to them, mm-hmm. but most of the questions on the Common Application are demographic in nature. Mm-hmm. Where colleges like BU have an opportunity to put their individual stamp mm-hmm. is on the member section of the Common Application, where we get to ask questions that are unique to Boston mm-hmm. University. Every college or university that a student is applying to needs your name, mm-hmm. needs your address. We need to know where you went to high school. We're interested in the activities you've been involved with, the name of your parents, where your parents or your siblings went to college, mm-hmm. what activities you're involved with. Those are the common questions that we are all interested in, mm-hmm. hence the Common Application. Mm-hmm. But the member section is our chance to individualize the questions that we want to know about that are unique and specific to Boston University. So, for example, as you may recall, since you applied just 1 year ago, we ask a specific Boston University question. It is a second essay mm-hmm. that asks students to talk about why Boston University would be a good fit for them. That's not on the Common Application. Mm-hmm. It's the member section for Boston University. We also ask in that section information about if a student is interested, for example, in applying for the trustee scholarship. That question would never appear on mm-hmm. the Common Application because it only exists at Boston University. So when we need to get down to that level of detail, mm-hmm. We ask it in the BU-specific part of the application.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And I know the why BU question is so important because interest is, like as you mentioned, at Fall Visitation Day, when I attended, that having interest in the university is a factor that's looked into. For example, someone such as myself coming from the West Coast all the way to Boston, So how is interest looked at? Because I know they keep track of like different tours you show up at. How is that factored into, if at all, to the application?
So I think what you're asking about, there's this concept in higher education called demonstrated interest. Mm-hmm. What can a student who's thinking about applying to any college or university, including BU, how can they show an institution that they are interested? And there are lots of ways that students can do that. One, of course, is by coming to visit campus. Mm-hmm. And we would love to see as many of our applicants as possible come to visit. We think it's the best way for a student to see if they can envision themselves as a BU student. You walk our streets, you visit our residence halls, maybe you eat in one of the dining mm-hmm. halls or in our student union, you spend the night on campus, you go to a class. Those experiences make a difference in the final decision that a student makes. Mm-hmm. And it could be that, yes, absolutely, BU is my dream school, I want to go here. Or it could be, maybe after my visit, I've learned that BU's too big for me, or maybe the program isn't exactly what I expected it to be. So whatever the outcome is, mm-hmm. Both positive or negative, I think there's a lot of value mm-hmm. in visiting a college campus. So there's no doubt that that mm-hmm. is a demonstrated interest. But there are other ways that students can demonstrate interest as well. We, my staff, travel the globe. Mm-hmm. We visit thousands of high schools each and every year. And we do that on the West Coast, where you're from. We do it in our backyard in Boston and New York and Washington, D.C. We travel. I was just in China 2 weeks ago. We literally travel the globe. And so if I am visiting your high school and you know you can't get to Boston, I hope you will take advantage of coming down and meeting with me or my staff to learn a little bit more about Boston University and to ask whatever questions any student might have. You can attend a college fair. You could talk to a local alum about the university. We have virtual events, especially for students that live halfway around the world. Getting to campus can be almost impossible, but yet we hold these virtual events, and that way students can talk to an admissions officer on my team and get their questions answered. So we do keep track of any engagement that a student has with us, and it helps us learn and appreciate a bit more how the student has gone about their college search and what it is they know about Boston University.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool. And it's cool that you get to also visit them in their home country, giving them the opportunity, because sometimes they aren't able to come to campus because it's so far.
Correct.
But yeah, that's very interesting. I'm going to move to the next question. Let me see. Okay. So you mentioned that the Common App is just common for all schools, and it's mostly used for demographics. I remember on the application, one of the questions was, like you mentioned, where your parents went to school, and like mm-hmm. if they went to the school you're applying to. How does this demographic of being a legacy student work into the application? I guess that's my mm-hmm. question.
So, you know, there's a lot of discussion and debate right now, mm-hmm. If you read the media, yes. any newspaper, about what impact, what influence should being a legacy have in the admissions mm-hmm. process. And there's honestly no right or wrong mm-hmm. answer. Every institution has to decide for itself what role it has in the admissions process, in our decisions and our deliberations. The way I think about legacy is, legacy is one factor among many mm-hmm. that we consider in the admissions process. Is it more important than how a student has performed academically in the classroom? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Is it more important than a strong recommendation from a teacher or a counselor who knows a student well mm-hmm. and understands their motivation for college and study? Absolutely not. But is it something that tells me that this student might be predisposed to my institution because they already have a family affiliation with the university? And that's powerful. That's mm-hmm. important. We like to continue a family tradition when we can. But realistically, I don't have enough seats in my class mm-hmm. to admit every legacy. We had something like 16,000 of our applicants this year, of our 62,000, that had a legacy affiliation, whether it was a parent or a sibling or a grandparent. Mm-hmm. My freshman class is 3,100. So it doesn't drive the admissions process, mm-hmm. but it is something that we think about carefully and thoughtfully, but it doesn't replace the importance of whether or not a student is academically prepared to be successful at the university.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's nice to hear that because I'm trying to figure out how to word this, the hard drive that just the student in general, like no affiliation with the university or even like just with, like without thinking about it, the hard drive is what gets them to be successful. Yes. And it's really nice to hear that that is what the students, you guys are looking for to admit here at BU, hard workers, ready to learn and study and eventually go out into the world.
Yeah. When we begin reading applications, which is usually in early November, for the next mm-hmm. class year, there are two questions that drive our process. Mm-hmm. The first, and we ask this about every single applicant, the first question is, will this applicant be someone who will be successful at BU academically? Will they thrive? And will they graduate at BU? Mm-hmm. I want that, students want that, and their families want that. So we really have to focus on a student's preparation, what they've accomplished in the classroom, how much they've pushed and challenged themselves mm-hmm. to answer that question. But there is a second question that's also important to us, and that is, how will this student contribute to mm-hmm. Boston University? Because yes, we want students who will be academic superstars and thrive at BU, but we also want students who will give back. Mm-hmm. We want students who will make BU a better place. And so we are looking at ways that students will engage at the university, whether it's through the Howard Thurman Center, just as you're doing, whether it's through student government, whether mm-hmm. it's athletics, whether it's the debate team, whether it's the Daily Free Press, whether it's the Dog Pound. But we want students who are going to really make BU a better place. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask both questions, and they're equally important.
Going back to legacy, how does this perhaps, like the, oh, I don't know how to word this, how does this population of legacy students impact the community here at BU, if at all? Does it have any impact? Does it make, oh, I don't know how to word this, I'm having trouble. I don't even know. Okay, I was reading wrong. So how does considering legacy and visits to the university affect the shape and character of the BU student body, if at all?
So again, both of these, you know, both legacy status and demonstrated interest, these are pieces of information that are in a student's application file. They are not requirements for mm-hmm. admission. We admit many students who are not legacies. Mm-hmm. We admit many students who have never stepped foot on campus. So it's a piece of information. Mm-hmm. We consider dozens of pieces of information when we're making an admission decision. So I think about you mm-hmm. when you are applying for admission. You're from Washington State, so you're 3,000 miles away from Boston University. If you had never stepped foot on campus, even mm-hmm. though you did, if the only thing we were looking at was demonstrated interest, your application mm-hmm. would have been eliminated, discarded almost right away because you didn't come. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to do that. Every single student that applies for admission is given the same opportunity for consideration in our process. Mm-hmm. It is a level playing field. There is not a preference, so to speak, mm-hmm. because someone has visited campus or because somebody's a legacy. It is just a piece of information that helps me complete the puzzle. Mm-hmm. That's how I think about it. When I read an application, when my staff reads an application, we are putting pieces of a puzzle together, mm-hmm. and that shapes who that person is, their experience, who they are, and what they will bring to the university. That's how we make our decision.
A big thanks to Kelly Walter for her time and insight on how BU looks at applicants.
Now, while Aleja was talking to Ms. Walter, I was in the Howard Thurman Center talking to students. I wanted to get an idea of how they felt about legacy admissions. Overall, the students I met didn't think it was a major problem at BU.
I think that, you know, a lot of people kind of use legacy admissions as kind of a, like, something to attack at this point, you know, considering that, you know, they might think that, you know, someone is being favored just because their parents went here, when I don't think now it's as big an issue as it was. It may have been before. I kind of hate the term, you know, holistic application, but I firmly believe that, like, you know, this school, you know, takes that term, you know, to heart.
Most of the students I spoke to were okay with legacy being a minor part of the application.
I do not think legacy should be like a 0% factor, but it shouldn't be like a huge factor in determining whether someone should be admitted to BU.
Yeah, I think that legacy should be considered, but I think it's one of the last things that should be considered when considering candidates. Like, it shouldn't be something that gets a student and a prospective student in the door. It's someone that should, like, it's something like if you're weighing two candidates and it's like you're looking for, like, I guess, an edge, one or choosing one student over the other to admit, I think legacy should be taken into account there. But I also think it should be, like, deeper than legacy. I think if you're going to use legacy as a point of merit, you should also kind of consider how their relative performed while they're at BU and what they did as well.
I don't know, everybody ends up getting into the place that they are supposed to. I think a lot of people, I don't want to speak for a lot of people, but I know myself, I'm not really opposed to it. Everybody has a way that they either hustle or find a way to get into college.
You know, but I've never really had that much of a problem with it because I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making it out to be, especially now.
Some students saw benefits in considering legacy.
So, considering legacy, if you have a student who's related to someone who's been a part of the culture at a university, in BU specifically, then chances are that they have learned that culture externally from their relative. And I say chances because that's a pretty big generalization. But their familiarity with the culture of BU from their relative can help them more actively contribute once they're here. And also kind of be more prepared when they come here so they can be successful.
It's still definitely important to look at, you know, considering that, you know, alumni are, you know, a huge source of income at the school, so you kind of have to, you know, take that into account when, you know, accepting or, you know, denying a student whose parent went here.
But they saw the drawbacks too.
As an institution, you want people to continue the culture that you've been working to create, but I think it would be negligent to forget that striving to gain legacies like leaves out an entire multiple populations and communities and people.
I understand where conflict lies in people using legacy solely as their only means for getting into school, but I think if you get into a school and then you are successful in whatever you do, then being a legacy shouldn't necessarily be a negative thing. My qualms with that do come in when there are legacy students who are underperforming, and at that point they're hurting not only the institution that they got admitted into, but also the other students who they're around.
One student I spoke to wasn't so comfortable with legacy.
I don't think it should have a big impact on if you're eligible to get into the school or not. I think it should be more merit-based than anything, because just because your parents went to a certain school doesn't mean that you bring the same attributes that your parents did to the school, or the same academics or community building or any of those same things.
She was also critical of the financial incentive for legacy admissions.
For a school like BU that already makes so much money, and for our like administrative staff to also be making so much money a year, like our president makes so much money, I don't think it's necessary to lean on gifts from parents of children who go because they attended.
So what did we learn today? Well, we started with a focus on legacy, but we learned a lot more about how the admissions process works at BU.
Kelly Walter told us how admissions sees legacy as a puzzle piece in the story of the student and how they will be a valuable student at this institution, not only by flourishing in their studies here, but also by contributing back to the community by joining clubs and being active on campus.
BU is a private institution, and it wants to bring in students who are going to do well and contribute to the school. And since BU gets 60,000 applications a year, the fact that it considers legacy doesn't seem to deter interest.